Hello and welcome to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. My name is David and I hope this podcast finds you well. There is a ton of news to talk about in the Star Wars universe, the Star Wars galaxy. Pedro Pascal. I know we haven't addressed this on the podcast yet. I think everyone has kind of heard the rumors behind. Maybe there's like a fallout with Pedro and the Mandalorian. So I had a long talk or a long text with Colin and Matt in regards to this and see what their thoughts on it were. And it felt like the situation kept on evolving, so to speak. I have people that are close to the situation, as close as you can possibly be without actually being employed by Lucasfilm, I think. There's people out there that I trust, and I've said it on the Facebook group before, but there was one person who kept on saying there was something to the rumors that there was some type of creative disagreement on set. And like I've said before in the past, and Filoni and Favreau I trust, and I totally trust those guys. What they did with Mandalorian season one was great. It was a great starting off point, and I fully give the car keys to the Mandalorian and every other piece of Star Wars anything to them. But when those rumors came out about Pedro Pascal, I was totally not on board, being that it came from kind of an unreliable source. But then it kind of caught on like wildfire. This was like 2-3 weeks ago, I think, even. So it was a while back. But I really kind of tried to analyze all the information we had. And of course, I mean, it kind of sounds ridiculous because we know about Pedro and his demeanor. At least his public-facing demeanor. He seems like a really cool guy. And everything we've heard about the production of Season 1 and Season 2 was that it was chill, laid back. We all saw Gallery. And then we had our kind of podcast/interview with Dominic Pace, who played Gecko the Bounty Hunter in Mandalorian Season 1. And he said the same thing. It was super chill. Filoni super chill. And it was a great production. There was no dissent, no disagreements, and season one went off and became the success it is. It's pretty much driving Disney Plus, I think. And then with season two coming up, it's really going to drive more subscribers. But at first, like I said, I thought the rumors were not true in no possible way. But then, like I said, a person that I do kind of trust was saying that something did happen, and I kind of went with it. I didn't talk about it on the podcast or anywhere, but I did kind of get worried a little bit. But it seems like when I spoke with Colin, he said all of his people that he knows said there's nothing of as far as creative differences go, or storming off set, or getting let go, or whatever the rumors. I mean, there's wild stuff out there, depending on who you follow, who you read, who you listen to. But it seems like now, as of today, what I'm hearing from this particular source is that there was something in the background, but not maybe as serious as we thought. There were kind of creative differences, but it's all kind of patched over. And of course, this information might change, but I don't know. It's kind of a weird one, but I just thought I'd maybe address it and kind of talk about it. So everything seems fine. We're all right here. How are you? It's one of those situations where, I mean, it could be anything. It could be nothing. It could be something heard from a stagehand or something and got blown out of proportion. I don't know. But the one thing I do know is stuff that does leak from these productions, because we can go all the way back to 1997 with The Phantom Menace, and the whole script leaked online. And I never read it, but I was around a internet connection back then. And I guess luckily I didn't read it, but yeah, someone kind of 50 miles away from me actually leaked it here in good old South Texas. But it seems like at this moment in time, The Mandalorian season two is fine. Everything's fine. And whatever happened behind the scenes, big or small, is all good now. So should be good. Giancarlo Esposito did an interview, and I'll probably talk about this more at the end of the podcast in a spoiler section, because he does reference what I don't think is really a spoiler, but episodes going into season three and season four. I mean, yeah, duh, that's a no-brainer. I mean, come on. I mean, it's one of the most successful shows of all time streaming, and it just came off of seven Emmy Awards. So it's, I mean, it's the crown jewel of Disney Plus, and it seems like with season two, what we get in season two is probably going to be more impactful, I would say. Not getting into spoilers, but I mean, it's going to be huge. Everyone's hyped about it. Everyone's psyched. I heard today that Disney Plus has 60 million subscribers, and I kind of want to see the numbers. If that episode one really hits, how many more subscribers we're going to get? And of course, if Disney does a proper marketing job and says, hey, look, it's coming back on the 30th, what kind of subscriber numbers we're going to see? I mean, it's going to be interesting for me. I'm just one of those people that really kind of are interested in the numbers. Story that no one's really talking about is the fact that Tony Gilroy has actually stepped down as the director of the Cassian series. He's still on the Cassian series as a producer, I believe, but he's no longer directing, which is kind of interesting. I know we got kind of hyped up for the fact that he's returning, and we all know that he's not a huge Star Wars fan, but he did a great job with Rogue One, with the pickups, and helped make that movie the success and the long-standing success it seems to be. That movie is rewatchable, and especially the ending. Of course, we all know I love the ending. So I saw, or I think I heard, that the reasoning was that he didn't want to fly to London and take his family, uproot his family during the pandemic, and have to deal with all that. So hopefully we'll get confirmation on a director and a start time. I believe the director was mentioned, but I don't really see or feel like there's any kind of like dissension or hiccups or anything of that nature for the Cassian series, just as long as they start on time. And it seems like, as of right now, getting the scripts done, and we haven't heard much on the Cassian front, so it's just kind of one of those things. I'm just waiting for a little bit more information, because yeah, I do love Rogue One, and I'm hoping to get a very unique espionage type series out of Star Wars. And of course we know about the casting, and of course Alan Tudyk's coming back as K2SO. I'm super looking forward to that, all of his hijinks, and he's a Texas native as well. So one thing that kind of caught me off guard was this Hasbro PulseCon. It kind of came out of nowhere, though. I don't think the marketing was that great on it. I'm subscribe to Hasbro stuff, and it just kind of caught me by surprise. And there were a lot of kind of exclusives dropped. One exclusive that I wasn't able to get my hands on was a Black Series version of the Armorer from Mandalorian Season 1, who's played by Emily Swallows, I believe. And it's a pretty cool figure. It comes in a nice box you can actually display, and she comes with tools, the tools that you see in The Mandalorian, and you can pose her different ways, kind of crafting a helmet. And that figure got sold out quickly, and it was just a pre-order. And of course, we posted on the Facebook group where you can see the pictures there, but they also released a Jar Jar Binks Black Series figure, and I think the internet kind of went wild a little bit, because it was a Jar Jar Binks figure post the sequel trilogy. And It felt like at the beginning of the sequel trilogy, they wanted to stay as far away as they could from Gungans and the prequels. And now it feels like the more that time goes, the more the prequels are embraced. And this totally embraces the prequels with the Jar Jar figure. It's pretty cool looking. It comes with a shield that the Gungans wield at the end of The Phantom Menace. And it looks like it comes with one of those bombs as well. And it looks pretty cool. I wouldn't mind picking it up. I didn't pre-order it. I'm not sure you could pre-order it. And there's also a Boba Fett figure, which is the figure from Return of the Jedi, because his blaster is actually, you can actually pull it apart right where it got sliced in half by Luke Skywalker's blade, by his green blade in Return of the Jedi. And it's a pretty cool looking figure. There's like a flame shot coming out of his flamethrower on his wrist. And yeah, he comes with actually a couple of his blasters. I forgot that. I can't think of the name off the top of my head right now for the name of his blaster. But yeah, it's a pretty cool figure. I actually bought the Empire Strikes Back Boba Fett figure this past weekend. And it's actually pretty detailed. And it's the Empire Strikes Back 40th edition. So I was totally surprised I found it at my local Walmart. It was just sitting there on the pegs. That and a Darth Vader. And I picked up both of them because they were the last two. And they were in mint condition. The card back was not messed up at all. So yeah, I definitely picked those up along with the big version of the Baby Yoda pop figure. And it's a pretty cool figure. It might be 1-to-1 scale. I don't know when the Sideshow figure arrives. I'm gonna compare the two. I think I've pretty much got every single major Baby Yoda figure except the mechanical figures. I think there are a couple of those, but I think I have the Pop, the Scentsy, the Build-A-Bear, the normal retail version that comes in the floating bassinet cardboard. So yeah, I keep on telling myself I'm not gonna buy any more, but I just seem to end up buying more. And more from the Hasbro Pulse Con, which I'm probably gonna talk about more in the spoiler section at the very end of this episode. There was a Ahsoka Tano lightsaber. It's the Force FX Elite saber. It's a blue saber, and if you look at the picture closely, there is what seems to be a drawing of Ahsoka Tano, a lifelike drawing of a live action version of Ahsoka. And I don't think it's a spoiler at this point, but the rumor is that Ahsoka Tano is going to appear in The Mandalorian season 2. That's the rumor. And if you look at her face, she does bear a remarkable resemblance to Rosario Dawson. So the question is, was this the very first image of Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka? I'm not sure, but it does look a whole lot like her. And yeah, Lucasfilm, Hasbro might have tried to slip one by us. But I saw the picture at first, and I didn't immediately think Rosario Dawson. But some people kind of called it that, and I think it's on the internet. You've probably seen it already. So, yeah, she's holding two blades, two blue blades. So, it'll be interesting to see if that kind of plays out. She does look pretty good, I have to admit. And live action, I mean, I was kind of worried about how she would look, but yeah, she looks pretty good. She doesn't, it looks like Ahsoka Tano as Rosario Dawson would play her. So. And of course, Mando Monday was announced, and that's going to take place the first Monday before episode 1 for season 2 gets released. And it's going to happen every Monday until the end of the run of The Mandalorian season 2. They're going to release different merchandise, art, games, what have you, for The Mandalorian season 2. And I'm probably going to buy a few things. I might as well just say it right now, because if I say I'm not, I'm probably gonna buy more than what I should, basically. So that ought to be cool. I know Colin was talking about, yeah, We're not gonna get a Force Friday this year, but we're gonna get Mando Mondays. So I guess that kind of takes the place of what we would usually get for Force Fridays. But yeah, Squadrons is gonna come out this Friday, and Colin and I downloaded it on the same day a couple days ago. And you can download it now, you just can't play it yet. So once, I guess, midnight hits, wherever on the Pacific Coast, you can start playing it. It's a single-player campaign, but after that, you can do multiplayer. And I'll be playing all day. Hopefully, I don't know if I should say, I hope the campaign is not as long as... I kind of want to play multiplayer. That's the whole kind of draw for me, is to play with other people. I think that's been the draw for me for video gaming since the start of this century, because playing with your friends is just the best. And I built a nice community of friends on Xbox, and we haven't played as much lately, but it's always fun when you can play with your friends. And of course, you can find me, my gamer tag is Stuff Podcast, and I believe Collins is something along those lines too. I think it's Star Wars Stuff. But yeah, you'll recognize our gamer tags when you see it. If you want to add me, yeah, my gamer tag is Stuff Podcast. So I'm hyped up for this Friday. D23 is going to come back to us in the year 2022, which is the same year as Celebration, but of course Celebration is going to happen in August, and then D23 is going to happen in September. Hopefully we get all the goods in August of 2022. I know it sounds like a long ways away, but it's only what, 2 years and a couple months away, so and several months away. So hopefully, yeah, by then this whole pandemic is over and we've figured it out and we can all meet up again. I know Celebration Chicago was just incredible, especially for the podcast. It was just a perfect storm for us. I mean, we got to achieve a lot of things that I was hoping we could achieve. And we vlogged every single day. I know James kind of got on that and he took a lot of video. I took as much video as I could and we podcasted every night. It was a spectacular experience. And I mean, it was so many moving parts to us getting what we actually got. I know it sounds kind of abstract what I'm talking about, but we had to have a lot of things go right for us to have the experience that we actually got. And if you listen to previous podcasts, I think we kind of detail a lot of things. But and coming later this year, at some point in 2020, we're going to get a 2.5 hour long version of the music from Solo, A Star Wars Story, with the Imperial March theme that we heard at the beginning of the film, and also a new rendition of Duel of the Fates. You hear a little bit of it when Darth Maul appears, and I'm kind of hyped for that, to see what John Powell did with that score. So that should be kind of exciting, and you'll probably hear some of the music on the podcast at the end credits probably. So Group Watch was announced today for Disney Plus, and it's available now. So for the Mandalorian season 2, you'll be able to watch episodes with friends, and I believe you can do interactions kind of like on social media, where you kind of heart, like, get sad over something, and pause and play. And the interesting thing is you have to send invitations, I believe, through a phone or a laptop or a device that's not your TV, which is kind of strange, according to the article I read. But I think that's kind of cool. This was actually launched in other countries, apparently it was a success, so it's coming over to us. And I believe the reason why we didn't have it before was for the simple fact that every country didn't have Disney Plus at the start. So That should be kind of interesting. Maybe all of us at the podcast will watch an episode or two together and maybe include some of y'all. So HasLabs has announced their new project, and it is the Razor Crest. And it looks pretty awesome. The price tag is $349, though. And they release two tiers if they hit a certain amount of backers. I believe it's 6,000 and 10,000. They're currently at 8,000 right now, and I think the first tier was, I believe, the Carbonite patties, if you will. But yeah, tier two is a Baby Yoda figure from Navarro. And man, I really want to be a backer and get that Razor Crest. It's over 30 inches long, and it would be pretty sweet to get. And we talked about the story before with HasLab's cell barge that I kind of regret not backing because it's pretty epic. It's basically a cell barge that fits your 3.5 inch toys from Hasbro. And I believe it came with a Jabba the Hutt inside of it. Or no, it came with Yak Face, with a special Yak Face. It could fit a Jabba the Hutt inside of it. But yeah, if you can imagine how big that toy is. And of course the Razor Crest is going to be 30 inches long. That's a huge toy. But yeah, $350. Right now it's currently at 8,000. I don't know. I haven't checked it lately, but it might be at somewhere upwards of that by now. And the story, like I said before on the podcast, was that there was 500 units short of getting the cell barge made, and Kevin Feige stepped in and bought the 500, and he's got cell barges all over his house, as the Russo brothers have talked about it, that they've been to his house and they're just all over the place, which is kind of funny and kind of cool to see that Feige's still such a huge fan that he will be involved in Star Wars in the future. So, story came out today that about 28,000 employees will be laid off from Disney parks, and that's kind of a sad thing because it does kind of hit close to home for the podcast, because of course we have a couple of people that are trying to get jobs there and work at Galaxy's Edge, and prospects look kind of grim, but it's pretty much due to the pandemic and people not wanting to travel. I know I had the opportunity to go, and my brother and my buddy wanted to go, but then they kind of thought not to go due to everything that's going on in the world right now. But Disney apparently has been lucky just due to the fact of Disney Plus, according to reports, that they're not taking as big a hit financially on their corporation, on their stock, due to Disney Plus, because they have Disney Plus and they have original programming that's about to ramp up with Marvel stuff as well. I know I saw a clip for a new series. There's going to be a new National Geographic series that's coming up about space. And it seems like Disney played their cards right and launching Disney Plus when they did, because without Disney Plus, they'd be probably in a little bit of trouble. There's, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, there's about 16 million subscribers right now. And I'm very curious to see how that's going to jump up when The Mandalorian Season 2 launches. So that is pretty much it for the standard news. Like I said, I have some spoiler talk that I want to do. So if you're willing to listen to that, stay listening. But for the rest of the listeners, may the force be with you always. This is the way. Welcome to the spoiler section of the podcast. I know I kind of hinted at it on the Facebook group, But it looks like we're getting closer to confirming, which it seems like is kind of a foregone conclusion that Temuera Morrison is going to play Boba Fett in some capacity. And there's a casting agency that had their website list him as a Boba Fett in post-production for The Mandalorian Season 2. And if you listen to the spoiler sections before on our podcast, yeah, we've talked about that before. I mean, it seems like the whole Filoni verse is going to exist in the Mandalorian series. And there was an actor that started posting and giving like winks to the camera in regards to playing Ezra Bridger. And it's kind of like I'm 50-50 on if that's even true or not. It seems like he's a super huge fan of Star Wars. It looks like he's a Middle Eastern actor. And if it's true, it's kind of interesting that all the characters from, I know it, I criticize people for talking about this and bringing it up and everything, but it's interesting that maybe all the characters that Filoni pulls from animation and brings into live action are going to be minority characters, non-white characters, because you have Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano, and then this actor of Middle Eastern descent playing Ezra. It's kind of interesting, but of course it's he keeps on saying, "No, I'm not playing him," and then he winks at the camera, and it's tough to tell like exactly what's going on. But going back to Giancarlo, when he talked to, I believe, Entertainment Weekly, he basically said that we're going to get more explanation in seasons 3 and 4, and it's like, what? He just like dropped that kind of like nonchalantly. And it's kind of a no-brainer that we're going to get more seasons of The Mandalorian. I mean, the thing's a huge hit. And with Filoni and Favreau in charge, you know it's going to be really good. But it kind of feels like the way he's talking about season 2, it's going to be almost like a slower, I don't know what the proper words to say for season 2, the way it kind of came off when Giancarlo talked about season 2. It feels like they're going to set up more characters, which it seems like going back to the rumors that I think, I'm not sure if we even talked about this on the spoiler section of a podcast, but Mandalorian season 2, halfway through it, apparently, is going to divert. And it goes back to the article that had Favreau talking about how he wanted a Game of Thrones type feel. And I'm all for that. I don't know how you feel about Game of Thrones, but I thought the series was great. And I thought the character development was awesome. And the amount of characters they had. You always hear these days that, oh, that's too many characters. How is it going to succeed? I think with Filoni and Favreau, it's going to succeed, especially with characters that Filoni really knows really well and who can draw from the canonical animation that we have with the Clone Wars and Rebels and the books and Thrawn too. There's a rumored Ezra and Thrawn series, which really isn't that much in the news, the spoiler news, but that's rumored. And hopefully we get the whole Filoni verse in live action. That would be something. So that's pretty much it for spoilers. There's not a whole lot, but Ahsoka Tano appearing on that box art for that lightsaber, I thought that was, it's interesting that she's holding blue sabers. That's, I think, what everyone's thinking about, commenting on. But there's a whole other chunk of time where Ahsoka could be out there and she could have her own Jedi Order. And she came back to the Jedi ways, and that's why she has the blue blades. Of course, she had the white blades before, and now having the blue blades means she's back and in tune with the Force. So hopefully we get some backstory on that. And of course, when Bob Iger talked about spinoffs, we all think, okay, well, he's talking about an Ahsoka Tano. series, and I mean, it could be huge. I mean, she's pretty much the female version of Luke for a certain generation, and I think having her as kind of a crown jewel of Star Wars is kind of long overdue. I think she's been a popular character for a long time, and Grandma and Grandpa probably don't know her, but everyone else kind of does. So hopefully we do see everything kind of pan out with Mandalorian Season 2, and we get the full live-action realization of the Filoniverse, and get to see all those characters in live-action. It could be crazy. Looking at that trailer that we got for Season 2, The Mandalorian, we didn't talk about the fact, I don't think anyone mentioned this, but if you look at the back of the speeder, I know a lot of people have seen this online, it looks like the outline of Boba Fett's jetpack and his helmet, if you freeze it frame by frame, and if you look really closely. But it feels like that could be kind of what we thought Slave One was in Solo, A Star Wars Story, in the asteroid field. It looked exactly like Slave One, and we were swearing by it, but it wasn't. It was just an asteroid, or it could have been just one of those Easter eggs that one of the graphics people just puts in. So I don't know, but that's it for spoilers at this point. We're so close. It's gonna be less than a month probably by the time you hear this, or exactly a month for The Mandalorian Season 2. And I don't think anyone really knows exactly what's going to happen, but I think people are counting on live-action Ahsoka, Boba Fett, and probably Rex. So, fingers crossed. We're hoping for the best. And Filoni and Favreau, I trust.